Hey guys, it's Nick from Game Time. Thanks for listening to our podcast and stream online and on the app. Just remember, it's still radio, 1620 The Zone AM radio. So please remember, all the time you spend listening to 1620 The Zone AM radio, remember, 1620 The Zone AM radio. Okay, can't talk until the beat drops there. You can't disrespect this song like that.
For real.
You can't do that, all right? You cannot do that. So if you missed it, we talked a little bit about with Shave. There was a little bit of Husker football recruiting news over the weekend. Cal graduate transfer, Kenawai Noah. That sound like a Kenawai?
That's close enough.
Let's just call him Noah, okay? His last name is Noah. Announced that he will be committing to Nebraska. And bolsters Nebraska's wide receiver department, as obviously with Stanley Morgan out, there, you know, a lot of figuring out what's going to happen there. 6'2", 185, was productive at Cal. Cal coach Justin Wilcox, told Bear Insider last fall, I'm reading from Husker Extra here, but Cal head coach Justin Wilcox had this to say about Noah. He said, quote, he's a fearless guy. He's a clutch guy. It seems like when you need it the most, he's shown up. That is a great quality to have. That is just part of his DNA. We try to put him in spots where we can maybe isolate him. The defense does things to try to take away certain people, and there is a comfort level for the quarterback with a guy like that who's proven it on third down or any down. He can come up with a big play. He's done that for us. He had 30 catches for 369 yards and 2 touchdowns over 8 games in 2018, and it was – a little bit of a drop-off from what he did in 2017, where he had 56 catches for 788 yards and 4 touchdowns. To put kind of put that in perspective, Stanley Morgan, I think, caught 70 passes this year alone. And so he caught 56 2 years ago. Like, so that's, I mean, that's productive, you know? It's a productive guy. And what I like is the description of him. Dependable, you know what it kind of sounds like? It kind of sounds like you're describing a player like what Jordan Westerkamp was for a while. I mean, I don't think it'd be as good as Westy, but like when you needed it, guess who got open and made a catch on 3rd and 4? Westy. When you gotta have it, guess who made a play? Westerkamp. Like there's something to that. Guys that get open, and you better believe there's a trust level that has to be there from the quarterback. Tommy Armstrong trusted Jordan Westerkamp. Clearly, Adrian Martinez trusted Stanley Morgan last year. And so you gotta put that trust factor and that chemistry factor in the microwave and heat that thing up between Martinez and this dude, Noah. But exciting. I mean, the reality is Nebraska needs all hands on deck with trying to make sure they got enough weapons at the wide receiver and running back spot. And so, you know, I don't know. I mean, is this guy going to be able to come in and be productive right away? I don't know. But the one thing I like about it is one of the reasons I don't hesitate to speak about Dedrick Mills a certain way because he's done it at Georgia Tech, right? Have had over 750 yards rushing, 12 touchdowns at Georgia Tech, ACC, real situation. And even with Noah here, this wide receiver grad transfer from Cal, like, he's done it against, you know, D1, Pac-12 level opponents. 56 catches, 788 yards in 2017. Against real teams, against Oregon and USC and UCLA and Stanford. Like, doing against real teams. So I think it's great. I think it's great. I mean, you need as all hands on deck there. So we'll see what ends up, what old Noah ends up looking like when he gets on campus. But I think it's a good pickup for Scott Frost's crew. 402-951-1620. One of the biggest stories of the day is the Woj bomb that was dropped that is impactful to both NBA and college basketball. If you missed it, Michigan coach John Beilein is leaving Michigan, and he's headed to the NBA to be the head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'll give you a moment to pick your jaw up off the ground. Yep. 5-year deal got announced today. Now, I don't know the terms of it because I think that's important because there's a part of this that you kind of scratch your head at. Because from a basketball standpoint, there's a lot about this that doesn't make sense for John Beilein at all. I mean, the Cavs are arguably the worst job in the NBA. They had the second worst record in the NBA last year. And it's not like there's a big light at the end of the tunnel for this team. And when you contrast that, he had it rolling at Michigan. You know, I mean, I saw a tweet that he's got the most tournament wins since 2013. Like, he's got it going there. He's got it going there. And then the other thing, too, is it's like if this were Sean Miller, you'd go, well, you know what? Sean Miller is caught up in the crosshairs of this college basketball FBI thing. He's trying to get out before the guillotine comes flying down. But Michigan's not caught up in that. So you kind of go, what's the deal? Other than the fact that maybe this was just something that was on his bucket list that he's always wanted to give the NBA a try. And sometimes when something's on your bucket list, even if it goes against logic and reason, you do it anyways. It's kind of the nature of a bucket list, right? I mean, jumping out of an airplane with a parachute, I mean, that doesn't make a lot of sense, but a lot of people do it. It's on the bucket list. So that's the first thing. I don't think it makes a lot of sense for Bealine. Number two, I like John Bealine as a coach. I mean, he's one of the most innovative offensive minds the game's seen. I mean, he's one of the first guys to really do the stretch five thing. He really is. Kevin Pitsnoggle, West Virginia, like he was one of the first dudes to do that. But there is an enormous difference between college coaching and NBA coaching in every way, shape, and form. I mean, it's all different. The players and the head coach, that dynamic is different. I mean, think about it. Bealine was Michigan basketball. He was the program. He was the guy. It was all about him. And in the NBA, unless you're Greg Popovich, the players, in particular the top players, are always more important than the coach. I mean, outside of Greg Popovich, name me one coach that the organization would choose the coach over the top player.
There's zero.
You understand that? Zero. And if you don't think that as like there's a... So you got to learn how to operate within that system. I mean, there's none. Mike Budenholzer. We'll choose Budenholzer over Giannis. Really? We'll choose Nick Nurse over Kawhi Leonard. Really?
Maybe Eric Spoelstra in Miami, but that's
more a product of their roster kind of being
bingo.
Eh.
Exactly. That's it, though. Yeah, you're right.
And so it's just a different deal for a coach, right? I mean, the good thing is I don't think he's a yeller and a screamer, because I don't think that translates at all. But you also don't want to be a pushover either. And it could be a hard adjustment for him with that. Because a huge part of NBA coaching to me is the ability to manage egos and personalities and stars. I'd say it's more about that than X's and O's at that level. I mean, everyone in the NBA knows a great sideline out of bounds set. The separator from Pop, Phil, Jackson, Steve Kerr is the ability to manage egos, manage personalities. I mean, I'd argue that Steve Kerr's biggest challenge is just managing Durant's ego, Steph, and Draymond, and Clay, and Iggy, and that, like managing all that. Phil Jackson. When I think of Phil Jackson, the first thing you think about is his ability to be the Zen master rather than like, boy, I tell you what, that guy defensively, the way he would trap and no. And the reality is managing egos in college compared to NBA going to be a little different. Then as far as his style, like, listen, again, he'll be fine with a dry erase board. I think his style translates, you know, he's not a micro, like Tony Bennett, Virginia. Now that style doesn't totally translate to the NBA. You know what I mean? Like Bealine runs kind of a progressive NBA style. But again, there's a big difference between the two games. Like 24-second shot clock, 30-second shot clock. The rules defensively are defense. Can't play zone. There's illegal defense. I thought Fran Fraschilla put it best today in a tweet. The difference between college coaching and NBA coaching is the difference between Spanish and Portuguese. They sound the same, but are completely different. So, I mean, I think there's going to be an adjustment period, and all in all, I've kind of left scratching my head. Bealine 66, he's got it rolling at Michigan. To leave that for a bad NBA job, I just don't quite get. But, again, that's the hard part about all this is you don't know what's in someone's head and heart. And maybe he's just always, maybe we all have those moments when our head hits our pillow at night that we daydream about what we want, right? Oh, if I could just do that, if I could. Maybe when Bealine goes to bed, he dreams about the NBA. Maybe he does. And now, it's a difficult time to be making a coaching hire if you're Michigan, May 13th. Well, that's a pretty desirable basketball job right there. There are going to be a lot of people that are going to be all in on trying to get with that. But it is pretty amazing. Think about it. Over the course of a year, the best football coach in the conference, Urban Meyer, out. Retired. And then the best, arguably the best basketball coach, 1A, 1B, Izzo or Beilein. But Beilein, out. 402-951-1620. Hey, if you haven't heard the call of Kawhi Leonard's shot, we'll play it for you coming up a little bit after we talk to Vers. But if you haven't heard it, it's amazing. Because the shot was amazing. The call's amazing. It's all great. But coming up next, let's man this whole thing up. Vers, talking a little Husker football when we come back.